Well, good morning, New Buffalo Alliance. It's good to be here with you this morning. My name is David Dixon, and I have the privilege of serving as the executive director for the Eastern Pennsylvania District. So it's good to be here with you. I want to take a few moments before we get into the message this morning to just tell you a little bit about what the district has been up to. I heard from Rick this morning that there were a few of you that went to be at the National Council for the Alliance a few weeks ago, and that team came back and gave a report about what God's doing around the world. And so I encourage you, if you want to know more about the national level, there's actually several videos that came out of Council. One of them just kind of giving a glimpse of Alliance missions around the world. You can find those online at cmalliance.org. But here at the district level, our mission is to develop kingdom workers for increasing gospel impact. And what we mean by that is that there are, of the 9.2 million people that make up Eastern Pennsylvania, who live in Eastern Pennsylvania, we wrestle with the question of who is going to bring the gospel to all those 9.2 million people, right? If I were to go and try and do that all by myself, I'd be traveling quite a bit trying to get to all those people. But if I can invest in the life of our pastors and our leaders, and those pastors and leaders invest in the lives of their congregation and the leaders of that church, and the leaders of that church are investing in people in their church and in their community, and as those people are coming to faith, if they go and invest in the lives of their friends, and so the gospel goes past from person to person, you know what? After a little while of that, we can reach 9.2 million people. That's the beauty of multiplication. So we see our role as developing our pastors and workers to have a disciple-making, multiplying mindset so that together we can reach 9.2 million people here in Eastern Pennsylvania. It's our Acts 19:10 kind of vision. So a couple things that I get to do in my role as the executive director, I help to lead kind of some of the day-to-day parts of our team, staff, things like that. But two initiatives that I get to be involved in. One is something that we launched last year called our Disciple-Making Community Dashboard. It's a survey of 12 questions, all centered around the idea of how are we doing in making disciples. I have yet to walk into a church that when I ask the question, what's the mission of the church? And someone doesn't say back to me either Matthew 28:19-20, or Jesus' great commandment to love God and love other people, right? We know those things to be true as followers of Jesus, yet we don't often ask the question, how are we doing with that? How well are we loving God and loving others? How well are we making the disciples that Jesus has called us to make? So we came up with this 12-question survey in which we sit down with pastors and leaders of a local church, and we ask the questions together, and we interact over them, and we kind of see, okay, how is your church doing? So, like, one of the questions on there is very simply, what is a disciple? Right? We ask a church the question, what is a disciple? And it sounds super simple. We say, well, the Bible tells us what a disciple is. Well, the challenge with that is if you were to pull out a piece of paper and write down all the things that you say a disciple is, you get this big, long list. It gets very long very quickly. Well, how do you focus in on what's really important? What's the life of a disciple look like? And so by defining those things, we actually help churches to be able to say, oh, this is what a disciple is. Well, then how are we doing in making those kinds of disciples? And so we get to sit down and have those kind of conversations. So if you want to know more about that, you can actually go to our website, epdalliance.org. You can click on the DMC dashboard, and you can see the questions that we're asking. And we've sat down with 35 churches this past year, and we'll be sitting down with almost 40 in 2026 to have those kinds of conversations. The other initiative that I get to be a part of is church planting. So that's churches that either are actively planting, the planters themselves, or churches that are thinking about planting. And right now, we have 8 church planting projects currently happening within our district. Two of them I'll highlight real quick. One is right up the road in Shamokin Dam, Sealands Grove area. They're replanting. It's now being called Bridges Alliance Church. And Lewisburg and some of the central region churches have been very helpful in getting that together. And the team just launched out of Lewisburg May, so late spring. And they're doing well. There's a number of people that are coming to faith. In fact, one woman who's been coming since they made that change in May, when she was in her 20s, swore to herself that she would never step foot in a church again. And her son and his family had been going to Bridges for a little bit and finally talked her into going, not to a service, but to a picnic they were having one night. And she said, fine, I'll go to a picnic because I don't have to step foot in the church building itself. And so she did. And so she went to the picnic. And after the picnic, she said, okay, these people aren't that weird. I will go on Sunday. And she's been going every Sunday since. And she has since rededicated her life to the Lord. So just one story of what God's doing right up the road here. Another one is a church that you all have been supporting in South Philadelphia. They have continued to meet and now are meeting with more frequency, both in the midweek, and they've started kind of Sunday gatherings in Scott Newcomer, our church planter there, his house. And just in the about 15 or so people that are there, that come together to be a part of that, or that are a part of that plant right now. There's over 7 different ethnicities that are a part of that church. So just of that little group, they're already reaching so many different kinds of people there. And so if you want to learn more about their story, we're actually going to be posting a video about what God's doing in South Philly this coming week. So you can check that out there, where Scott will be sharing a little bit more about that. So that's just a quick glimpse for all of those things and for all the other church planting projects. You can go online to our website, epdalliance.org/churchplanting. Or if you want to learn more about the dashboard, that's there as well. You can catch up there. All right. If you have your Bible, grab it and turn with me to Mark chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today. Mark chapter 4. And as we walk through this today, we're going to be looking at one of the parables of Jesus and unpacking it as we process what is it that Jesus is trying to say to us today. So I'm going to read it, Mark 4, verses 1 to 9. Here's what the Word of God says. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we want to be people who have ears to hear. Lord, we want to be people who are becoming more and more like you. And Lord, we know that every time that we open your word, that this is not simply a book that we read, that it is your words, living and breathing in written form. And so, Lord, as we we hear it, as we discuss it, as we talk through it, Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, because whether we are ready or not, you long to speak into our lives. You long to see us grow in walking with you. You long to see us be people that are disciple makers and multipliers. You long for us to join you in the joy of your kingdom. And so, Lord, would you do that in us today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In 1971, a young surfer turned pastor named Ralph Moore had what he would call a defining moment. And it isn't exactly what you would expect. You see, Ralph was just in full of passion and, as he describes, arrogance. Ralph planted a church in Manhattan Beach at the age of 19. And part of his strategy in that day was to criticize the hippie kind of culture of Southern California. He figured if I just tell them all the things that they're doing wrong, then they'll come to know Jesus. And honestly, this was working for a season, right? There was some things happening in the life of the church. There were people that were coming around. But things were not quite as successful as Ralph had hoped. And so as he began to wrestle with that, anxiety began to set in to the point where Ralph has what he later described as a complete panic attack for 3 days. And so this pastor, right, this surfer turned pastor who had been kind of judging others and wrestling that out was and even criticizing them for some of the same things he was feeling then, saying things like, well, if you were really following Jesus, you wouldn't have these kinds of emotional issues. Now he was experiencing them for himself. And for him, it was a crisis kind of moment. And so in this season of his life, Jesus began to change his heart. And Ralph discovered that God's grace isn't diminished by our brokenness. In fact, it's magnified through it. And so this transformation grew in Ralph a conviction that if he was going to reach the broken people of Southern California, that not only was his life going to have to change, but also they were going to have to change how they did church. And so they did. They started to think through what's it going to look like to reach the people of Southern California. And so they decided that where they were going to do this is that they wanted to make sure that their church was a place where literally anyone could walk through the door. So they wanted to have a high threshold for acceptance and forgiveness combined with a deep reverence for God's word. And they made everything as super simple as possible. Just disciples making disciples. And so this little church that they planted in Manhattan Beach with a dozen or so people over the course of several decades became the launching pad for over 2,400 churches around the world. From one church in Manhattan Beach to 2,400 churches around the world. And it's interesting, when Exponential and Lifeway Research did a study in the mid-2010s about which churches in North America are really multiplying churches, churches that have multiple generations of disciples and church plants, what they discovered was that Ralph's church was the only church in North America that they could trace this many generations to. The only one that they found that was truly multiplying to that extent. And so the change happened in Ralph, and then it happened in his church, and it multiplied out into the world around him. And to me, this story reveals the heart of the parable that we read, that when we understand God's lavish grace, we become people who naturally multiply his kingdom. That when we become what Jesus describes as good soil that produces 30, 60, and even a 100-fold return. And so what I want you to hear today is the main idea of the message today is that God's abundant grace creates abundant fruitfulness in those who receive it deeply. Let's look again at our passage, Mark chapter 4. It really begins this crucial section where Jesus is explaining how the kingdom goes forward, right? Jesus would speak in these parables where he would explain the kingdom of God is like, and then he would share the story that's there. And so here in this particular parable, not only is Jesus telling this parable, but we would later see, as Jesus explains this to his disciples, that this parable is a key to understanding other parables as well. And so it begins, Jesus is teaching, and he says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Now, there's some things about this sower that I think are important for us to see. First is the sower is very generous with the seed, right? The picture of it is of the sower kind of having this bag of seed, and they would grab it and just throw it out. Now, to us, that feels a little strange, because if we go look at crops, whether it's soybean or corn or whatever, it's always in rows, right? It's in rows, like it's been perfectly placed. It makes sense. There's spot for the water, all those kinds of things. But not in Jesus' day. How they would sow is they would just grab it and they would just throw it out into the field, into all the different parts. And so, you know, some, of course, would get more seed than others. But it also gives a picture of the generosity of the sower, right? That it's just thrown out, right? And it's going all different kinds of places, indiscriminately, just all around for the seed to take root. The second thing I think it's important for us to know about this parable is that the seed itself, Jesus says in Mark 4, a little bit later on, verse 13, he says the seed is the word. So the seed is the word of God, right? It's the good news of Jesus. So when we're thinking about it going out, right? The seed is the same no matter where it goes. The seed is just as powerful. As Romans says, right? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So the seed is powerful and effective, right? And then the third thing I want to draw our attention to in this parable is that the expectation that Jesus had for the harvest is over the top abundant. In the ancient Near East, it would have been considered to be a good crop if you got like a 7, maybe 8, 9, 10 return on your crop, right? That would have been considered a really good year for that harvest. So when Jesus says things like 30, 60, 100 fold, what he's talking about there is way beyond what they would have expected, even for a great harvest for that year. So again, that those numbers maybe don't mean as much to us if we're not into farming. But for what Jesus is communicating here is that when the seed of the gospel lands in good soil and takes root there, what it produces is over the top abundance, over the top multiplication. And so as we consider that, what Jesus is drawing our hearts to is that this is one of the ways that the kingdom of God works. That his abundant grace creates abundant fruitfulness in responsive hearts. However, as we see from the parable, not every heart is ready to receive the seed in the same way. And so Jesus unpacks four different kinds of soil that the seed falls on. And as we process what this means in our lives, right, as we consider what these four soils are and their ramifications for us, I'd invite you to think of them not simply as static, but perhaps to represent our heart in different seasons or in different times of our lives. So for example, it's not that someone is always the rocky soil or always the hard path. But when every time the seed of the truth of who God is and what he's done comes into our lives, how is it received into our hearts? How is it received into our lives? That's how I'd like us to process these four that Jesus shares with us in this parable. And so the first you see, is the seed that falls on the path. Right? Again, as the workers would walk through the field, as they'd walk kind of the same spots every time, the ground there would just get worked down, right? Maybe if it was dry especially, right, it would get really hard. And so when the seed falls on this, the ground's so hard, it can't go into the ground at all. And so birds would come and they would come and eat, right? That would kind of be their, maybe be their snack for the day or whatever it might be. Right, but Jesus paints this picture that bird coming is like Satan coming and stealing it from their heart, that the heart is so hard that the seed can't get in. Now, it's easy to see how this might be true for someone who has completely rejected Jesus as Lord, to say, yeah, their heart's too hard, they can't receive it. But I wonder as well, if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, is there a place for our hearts to become hard towards God doing deeper things in our lives? Right? Maybe you've been in church for a while and there's been some people in church that have hurt you. And so you close yourself off to other people, right? You say, okay, well, you can get to know me a little bit, but only so far. And when we do that, our hearts become a little bit harder. And so when we hear the truth of God, it doesn't quite sink in as deeply. Or perhaps there's been some things that have happened to us in our lives that have just been really challenging and hard, and we don't know if we can trust people. Or maybe there's some things where we've gone to God and asked for his help on certain things, and we felt like he wasn't there for us. And so we can say things like, God, I don't know if I can trust you. And so when we hear the truth of God's word, it doesn't sink deeply into our hearts, because we're hard and we haven't been able to get to a place where it comes back into our lives. Or perhaps, again, as we walk this road of life, maybe we say to ourselves, you know, there's some things about this world that actually are more advantageous. And so we begin to pursue a life apart from God. And in our pride, we say, you know what, maybe I thought I needed God, but really, I think I can live this life better on my own. And so our hearts can become hard to the truth of what Jesus wants to do in our lives. This is kind of the problem of the path. Jesus goes on and to describe another kind of soil. He calls it the rocky soil. And in the rocky soil, right, the seed comes in, and because of the rock, right, there's a little bit of soil there. And so it grows really quickly, right? Because it's nice and warm and ready for that seed, and it grows really quickly, but then because it has no roots, right? It says the sun comes out and scorches it, and it dies very quickly, right? And so this is like the person who hears the word of God and gets really excited about it, maybe excited about what it might do in them or the blessing that might come from it. But when it comes to walking with Jesus and him changing us in the deep parts of who we are, we say, no, that's okay, that's not for me. And so the rocky soil, right, might be someone who loves participating even in worship and the music and all of those things, but they say, you know, I love to do that in church, but don't tell me how to like live my life at home. Or things like, you know, I like the blessings that come from God, but God, do you really mean that like, I need to like surrender my whole life to you? Right? Those rocks take up those places in our hearts. And so the word of God, the good news of Jesus, can only get so deep into our lives. And so as that rocky soil, it's hard for things to go deep. And so over time, it can begin to wither or lose steam. The third soil that Jesus talks about is the thorny ground, right? He says the seed lands in it and the grain begins to grow, but the thorns or the weeds around it begin to kind of choke it out so that it cannot grow to its full potential. Right, later on, Jesus would actually, of this soil, specifically say that the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things are what choke it out. You see, in this thorny ground, right, it's a divided heart. It's a heart where there's competing plants for the same soil. Right? As Tim Keller would say, that when we have competing loves, right, or competing idols in our lives, it's hard to fully give ourselves to Jesus. And so this one is the divided heart. And there's a lot of things in our world that would seek to vie for our attention, whether that's the dream of success, whether that's the dream of financial security, whether that's the dream, the American dream, whatever it might be. There's these competing desires in our heart that when we allow them to override or to become primary or really push down, right, on the priority list of our lives, what Jesus wants to do in us, right, it becomes competitive for it. So we begin to say things like, I'll do that when, you know, I'm a little bit more financially secure, right? I'll be more generous, Lord. Yeah, I know you've called me to do that, but I'll do that when I have a little bit more space in the budget. Or when it comes to time and being involved in God's mission and serving to advance his kingdom, we say, you know, well, right now, we're just kind of in this busy season with our kids, so we'll get to that a little bit later. Why? Because there's divided attention. There's divided things. And there will always be things in this world that try to pull our hearts away from God, that try to compete for the captivation of our hearts. And so this is the thorny ground. It comes in, but there's competing things. And so it doesn't produce the crop that it was designed to produce. Again, all of these are the same seed, right? The gospel, the power of God unto salvation, the power and the person of Jesus himself. So it's not like the seed became less effective on each ground. It's simply the condition of the heart in which the gospel is put into. But of course, Jesus mentions a fourth soil. He calls this the good soil. He says, this is the one who hears the word, accepts it, and bears fruit. These are hearts that have been softened by God's grace and grounded in his truth. Instead of believing the lies of this world or the lies of the enemy, these are the hearts that cling to God's promises, that he is faithful, that he is transforming us, and that he is, and that our lives are surrendered to him wholly and fully. And we're welcoming his transformative work in our lives. We know that it may not be easy. We know that it may require us to work through some of the challenging things of our lives. We know that he may call us to go to people or to places or to have conversations with others that might be difficult for us. But we do it because we know who Jesus is and what he's done in us, and because he's changed us so deeply and we've experienced his abundant grace, we naturally bring that abundance in grace towards others around us. These are the ones who make disciples that make disciples. They're the ones that see a 30, 60, 100-fold kind of return on the gospel at work in their lives. And again, I want you to see the difference is not the seed, right? The gospel is not more or less powerful. The difference is how deeply we receive God's grace into our lives. And so when Jesus is describing this 30, 60, 100-fold return, he's describing something. And he's telling this parable so that those that are hearing it will understand this is meant to be normative in the kingdom of God. And so what does that look like? What does it look like to be a 30, 60, 100-fold kind of disciple? What does it look like to be someone of good soil? Right? This is like, it's the coworker who's befriending those and welcoming their other coworkers into their life in such a way that they're doing more than just working together. They're talking about some of the things in life. right? It's the coworker that's inviting them into their lives in such a way that they can speak to them about who Jesus is and what he's done, so that they too may have the opportunity to follow Jesus. And then if they do, as they do, right, it's helping them to know what that looks like in the day-to-day, training them to be able to now go and do the same, so that maybe one day when one of those people that you work with goes to another job, they now go and do the same thing there with other people. Or maybe they get moved to a different department in your workplace and they begin to go do the same things there with other people, right? It looks like the neighbor. If you live in a neighborhood, I don't know if that's your story, but it looks like the neighbor who intentionally goes and befriends the other neighbors in their community, welcomes them into their life, and shares with them the love and hope and joy of Jesus. Right? And then as they come to follow Jesus, it's helping them to see what does it look like to live with Jesus, to walk with him, so that they too may go, maybe they move or maybe they go somewhere else, so that they too can go and begin to do the same in a different neighborhood. Right? That 30-fold disciple, it looks like the mom who intentionally invests day after day into her children, helping them to know what does it look like to live as a disciple and follower of Jesus. So that as they grow to be men and women, they will know what it looks like to follow Jesus and can lead their families to be able to do the same. So that wherever they go to work, wherever they live, they can be those co-workers, they can be those neighbors. Right? It looks like the Ralph Morse. And if you get in more into Ralph's story, you know it's not about Ralph. You know that he poured his life into a few people and they poured their lives into a few people, right? And so it's leaders pouring their lives into other leaders, spending time with them, right? Day after day, week after week, month after month, so that they too can go on and invest in the lives of others, making disciples, planting churches. Right? It's about God's abundant grace flowing through our receptive hearts and saying, God, in my day-to-day, because your grace has been so abundant, God, because you have been so good to me, Lord, lead me in my life. What in the day-to-day of my life do you want to change so that we can walk together more closely and be on mission together more clearly? You'll notice in verse 8 of Mark chapter 4, it says, this seed produced grain, growing up and increasing. And the Greek word there in this phrase, it's this picture of almost automatic, unstoppable kind of growth. Like, because the seed fell in that kind of soil, it wasn't a question whether or not it would take root and produce 30, 60, 100 fold. It was a given that when it landed in good soil, it would produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. And so for us this morning, as we process this in our lives, I don't know about you, but the question that rings in my heart is, Lord, I want to be good soil. Lord, I want to be good soil. I don't want to be choked out. I don't want to be shallow, right? I don't want to have a hard heart. Lord, what needs to happen in me for me to be good soil, to be that 30, 60, 100 kind of disciple? And so here's some ways I think that we can cooperate with God's grace in our lives. For you this morning, if you would say, yeah, my heart is hard right now, right? There's some hurt in my life. Or there's some things that have gone on in my life that really, I don't know if I've worked through. You know what the beautiful thing is? Is not only did Jesus die to save us from our sins, he died to heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The Bible says, right, that in him we're made new. And so when we're hurt and we feel like we're hard and we don't know what to do with it, we can go to him and we can ask for healing. And we can have other people join us in that and help us with that, just to to pray over us for healing as well. That's why the Bible says in James to have the elders to come and to pray for healing over those that are sick. Why? Because there's something in the power of God that is for our healing. And for those of us that are struggling that with a hard heart, maybe we've been disappointed by God in that as well. Have we come to him and start to work through that with him, ask for his healing? For you, maybe you're in that shallow heart or that rocky ground kind of space right now. You'd say, yeah, just there's a lot, so much going on in my life. I'm not sure if everything is where it's supposed to be, or there's parts of my life, God, that you can come into this one, but you can't come into these others. The hard thing about rocky soil is that you got to dig out the rocks. But you know what the great part is about the way God built his church? Is that we don't have to dig out the rocks alone. We can lean into one another and say, would you pray for me? Would you help me? Share with someone what that rock is for you. Maybe it's the pursuit of comfort. Maybe it's a pursuit of success. Maybe it's just simply hard for you to kind of figure out what it looks like in the day-to-day to follow Jesus, and you need someone to walk beside you in that. Well, to grab a friend. Grab a random person if you have to. Right? And work together in that. For the divided heart or the thorny or the weeded heart there. Right? What are those other competing desires? What are those other competing loves? Right? Is it your career or your work? Right? Is it the kind of house that you have or the toys that you have? Does that speak to something about the level of success that you feel like you have to have? Right? Maybe, again, it can be a variety of things, but maybe security or safety or comfort has just simply become a competing priority with God. You say, well, I don't really know if I want to change these things in my life. This is an opportunity. Again, God is speaking. Say, we want to be abundant people because Jesus has been so abundant with us. Would you allow him to pull those weeds, those other loves out of your life so that you might fully give yourself to him? And maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I do have a soft heart. I do. I'm ready for what Jesus wants to do in my life. And for you, I would say, as you listen for his voice, what is he calling you to? What is he calling you to? Maybe there's someone in your workplace or in your neighborhood or on your kids' sports team that he is putting on your mind to say, this is the person that I want you to invest in. Are you listening for his voice? For some of you, maybe it's even to step up into a role of leadership here in your church to say, you know, I'm going to invest my life into the lives of others as a leader of this church. For some of you, maybe it's even vocational ministry. You say, God might be calling me to give up my current career path and to follow him in vocational ministry. Maybe that's you. As an international worker, as a pastor, right? There's a variety of paths that could look like, but what is it that God is calling you to? And as you begin to hear his voice in that, good soil receives it and says, yes, Lord, this is where you're leading me. That is where I want to go. Because we know that the result, the natural result of the seed is always abundant growth. Right? That the abundant grace of God creates or produces abundant fruitfulness in those who receive it as good soil. And so the challenge in that for us is if we don't see the 30, the 60, the 100-fold that we long to see, the question is not, is God more or less powerful? We have to start to wrestle with what kind of soil is his seed landing in. And so for us this morning, I want you to wrestle with that. What kind of soil is your heart in right now? Because the invitation of Jesus is always trust, always faith. It's always towards something deeper in him, because that's what he gave his life for. He died to set us free. He died to forgive us of our sins. He died so that we might have new life in him. And today we can trust him with more of who we are, so that our hearts might be soft and ready to be a part of his great harvest. Let's receive his grace in fresh ways and join him in his disciple-making mission. I'm going to invite the team to come back up here. And as they do, I want you to be processing, what is it specifically? Like, ask the Lord, really, like, where is my heart right now? Because maybe that's a question mark for you, or maybe you're sensing him leading you towards a particular direction in that. But if that's you, ask the Lord, Lord, where is my heart right now? And see what he says. Or maybe you know what that is, and God's leading you to surrender a particular part of your life, or to go and reach out to someone even later this afternoon to strike up a conversation, or this week at work, whatever the case might be. He's putting those things on your hearts. And if you would be willing to, would you even write it down on a note somewhere or put it in your phone as a reminder? Because you and I know, and I'm totally 100% guilty of this, in about 10 to 15 minutes here, the service is going to be over, and we're going to sing a song, and we're going to go home, and we're going to do whatever we normally do on a Sunday afternoon. And it's easy to forget this moment with God. And so would you write it down somewhere? Again, maybe put an alarm or a reminder on your phone so that you can pick up that conversation with God later. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be fruitful in God's kingdom. I want to see the 9.2 million people of Eastern PA have the opportunity to know and walk with Jesus. I want all the people here of New Buffalo and Perry County to come to know, to have the opportunity to come to know Jesus. I want to throw that seed out as much as possible and let God work powerfully among us.